Hello and welcome to the first official episode of Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this episode is probably a great way to start the whole podcast series, and it's 10 ways to really optimize a fat loss phase. So if you're starting from scratch, here's 10 things to consider, or 10 things that will make it a lot easier for yourself, rather than just going in blind and, you know, just taking any type of mad approach. So without further ado, also disclaimer, if you are in a special population, if you're diabetic, if you have a heart issue, if you're on any special medication for a physical condition, I would always consult my doctor, or your doctor, I should say, because these are just guidelines. And if you are doing anything on this list that you think you shouldn't be doing, then maybe consult your doctor. All right. So without further ado, let's jump in. So number one, if you are starting a fat loss phase from scratch, the first thing I would do is decide your goal and make it realistic. So don't aim for 10 pounds in 2 weeks. Okay. That is absolutely insane. Like, it's not healthy, and it's probably not even possible, to be honest. I think there was a study done before, or like there was like an attempt done. I think it was like a record to see how much weight could you lose in a week by just drinking more. I think it was like 7 pounds. So yeah, would not encourage that whatsoever. So what I would usually do is strive for 1% body weight. Okay. So if you are 90 kg, that would be 0.9 kg. Okay. So that's nearly 2 pounds. It's 2.2 pounds in a kg. Or, you know, obviously the more someone weighs, the more energy their body requires to shift them from A to B. Like, they need extra food. So if you are currently 90 kg or 100 kg and you sign up to a coach and they give you like 2000 to 2300 calories, and you're thinking, whoa, because you're so used to these 1200 calorie diets, that's because your body requires more food than, say, someone who would weigh 60 kg. But as you drop weight, your calories will drop as well. Okay, so don't worry about that. So for me, I am 60 kg, so 1% of my body weight would be 0.6 kg, which is nearly a pound, just over a pound. So usually a pound to a pound and a half is plenty, okay? A pound to a pound and a half a week is plenty. If you use my fitness pal, it's going to ask you, how long do you have to lose this weight and how much would you like to lose? You could literally put in, I want to lose a stone in 2 weeks, and it will give you the actual calories, the required calories to lose a stone in 2 weeks. It's absolutely mental. I don't know how they're still getting away with it. But there's gullible people out there who will literally think, oh, lovely, I'm going to lose a stone in 2 weeks. I only have to eat 200 calories a day. Yes, it will literally tell you. It doesn't care. It doesn't take into any consideration how dangerous it is. It might give you a little bit of a warning, but it will literally say to you, eat 200 calories a day and you lose a stone in 2 weeks, and that's not sustainable. Are you mad? Like, you would not last piss in time eating 200 calories a day. You think you will at the start, and then 3 days in, you end up throwing the towel in and you end up binging. That's exactly what happens. So pick a realistic goal, and, you know, the more sustainable it is, the better, which is why I always opt for like 1 to 1.5 pounds a week if it's myself or if it's a client, because you're not making massive sacrifices, especially for a beginner. It can be a lot to take on starting a fat loss phase and, you know, taking these massive leaps because you want like this huge outcome. So a pound to a pound and a half is ideal. So if you were going on holiday in September, I would start in maybe May, maybe early June, to give yourself a really, really good window to lose a stone, okay? Not 2 weeks before you go away. So I would probably give myself at least 12 weeks anyway, okay? And remember, you can't diet forever. Like, you don't want to be miserable. I would always recommend to my clients, like, take 12 weeks to, you know, to start the fat loss phase, to do it, and then take a break for 3 to 4 weeks at maintenance calories, where you'll maintain your weight at the end of the 12 weeks, and then we can go into another fat loss phase again. So it's just because sometimes you can get kind of like diet fatigue, where like you're just kind of mentally drained from being in a dieting phase. And also it will help your metabolism greatly, because what can happen is metabolic adaptation. So your body has been eating these calories so long while you're in a deficit, it's just like, okay, I'm getting used to these now. And slowly but surely your body will start recognize them as your maintenance calories, and you'll notice a plateau in the scale. But again, that's down the line. We will cross that bridge when it comes to it. But yeah, so number one, decide your goal, make it realistic. Two, decide how much time you have as well. So be realistic. So I don't mean like a diet window. I actually mean like, how much time do you have in a week? like a lot of people jump into diets and they're like, I'm going to work out 7 days a week and I'm going to walk 20,000 steps a day and yeah, I'm going to be in the gym 7 days a week and I'm going to eat 1,000 calories. And they think that's the best way to go about it. Has it worked before for you? No, so it's not going to work this time. Be realistic. How much time do you have available? Like once you know how much time you have available, then you know what you have to work with. So be realistic. How many hours have you got a day? Okay, I work 9 to 5. I don't really like working out in the morning, but then again, I'd be too tired in the evening, so I'll just get up an hour earlier. Or like, do you have kids? Do they take up a lot of your time? Do you work night shifts? You know, time with family and friends, like, would you travel a lot for work? Like, you have to take all of these into considerations. And I wouldn't be working out 7 days a week either, because you're not going to be able to sustain that. Like, your body will just end up burning out. You'll just end up having a breakdown. Like, it's no use to anyone. No one's going to benefit from it. Like, we're all about how to be sustainable around here, and you won't be able to sustain that. Your body needs rest. And also, one thing I say as well is, would you be able to carry on like that for the rest of your life? If the answer is no, then you're not going to be able to sustain it, okay? So stop biting off more than you can chew. If you have 3 days, great. You don't need to be working out any more than 3 days. If 3 days is all you have, don't think like you're at a disadvantage because you're working out three days and your next door neighbor, Mary, is working out 5 days and you think she's going to get better results than you. Remember, when you use a TD calculator, which is one of the points that's going to be coming up soon, when you use a TD calculator, you tell it how many days you're going to be able to work out. So say you put in 3 to 5, it's going to give you the amount of calories for your height, weight, age, and days you'll be working out. It's going to give you the correct amount of calories for someone who's going to be able to work out 3 days a week. So you will be on less food than your next door neighbor, Mary, because she's working out more days, so she can be on more food but still drop body fat at the same time, okay? So yeah, be realistic about how much time you have. If you can only walk out an hour a day, that's fine. You know, you can optimize it. Like if you have a coach, they'll be like, okay, let's get your bang for your buck. Let's do 3 full bodies if you can only walk out 3 days a week. If you can walk out 4 days, we could do two full bodies, and then you could do 1 upper, 1 lower, or 2 lower days and 2 full bodies. There's so many different variations that you can do. Like you just optimize it. Like if you could only train twice a week, you could do 2 full bodies. Like what we really want to aim for here is trying to hit the muscle group, each muscle group, twice a week at least, okay? So if you can walk out twice a week, that's still okay. And obviously you have to fit in your walk as well. Like trying to lose body fat is actually very time consuming. It actually is very time consuming. So please be realistic with how much time you have available. There's no point telling your coach, I can walk out 5 to 7 days, when you're 2 weeks in, you're like, whoa, this is actually very time consuming. I'm going to have to cut it down. So yeah, you'll just save a lot of time in the long run if you are open and honest at the start with your coach. Because you're trying to get your 10K steps in, then if you have to do cardio after your weights, and then your gym session could take an hour. Like it is very time consuming, trust me. It's a very time consuming process. And you know, I'm getting to a stage now where like I don't think I can really walk out 5 days anymore because I'm so busy with so many other things going on in my life that I just have to be realistic now and think maybe I'm gonna have to cut it down to 3, because what's happening is I'm kind of starting to miss workouts, or you know, I'm not able to do a cardio session here, or my steps are kind of suffering. So I need to be realistic and be like, do you know what, maybe it's best if I cut it down to 3 days and optimize those 3 workouts. All right, so number 3, okay, now let's find out what your calorie deficit is. So now we know that you're going to work out 3 days, let's say, okay, now go on to your TD calculator, tell your height, weight, and age. And a lot of people make this mistake. It's going to ask you, how active are you? And you're going to tell it, oh, I'm barely active. I'm active probably 1 to 2 days a week, and that's probably walking from the car park to the shopping centre. And it's actually asking you now, like, how active do you intend to be? And what happens is when you actually tell it how active you are now and not in the future, it's going to give you really, really low calories, because it's like, okay, this person barely moves, so they're not going to require an awful lot of food. So here we're going to put you on 1,400 calories. And then what happens is that person who doesn't really know how to use a TD calculator is working out 5 days a week, and they're on the calories for someone who barely moves. So yeah, your body does not require that much food at all. If you sit at a desk all day, don't walk and don't exercise, like your body's like, I'm not going to be expending any energy, so why do I need to consume so much energy, aka food? So yeah, always tell it in the future how often you will be working out. So yeah, put in 3 to 5 days or whatever, and then it's going to give you your calories. So it's going to give you your cutting calories, your maintenance calories, and your gaining calories. So we're looking for cutting calories, okay? So basically, I'll explain this as quick as possible. So your maintenance calories, say you're working out 3 days a week, your X height, X age, X weight, etc., the TD calculator is going to be like, okay, this is how many calories you have to consume daily to stay the same weight, even though you're working out 3 days a week and your X age, X weight, X height, etc. And then what's going to happen is to lose body fat, it's going to be like, okay, you're still working out the same, but now you want to lose body fat. Okay, take 500 calories away daily, because 500 by 7 is 3,500 calories. And that's how many calories is in a pound. So basically, that's moving less, or moving more and eating less. So you're still moving the amount, same amount, but now you're eating less. So your body is taking in less food, but it's still moving the same amount, okay? So that's basically move more, eat less, all right? So number four, next, get your macros. So if you're only starting off, what I would recommend is get your calorie deficit. And then get your protein goal. So if you're 150 pounds, okay, usually a gram of protein per pound of body weight, that's 150 grams of protein. So there's 4 calories in 1 gram of protein, there's 4 calories in 1 gram of carbs, and there's 9 calories in 1 gram of fat. So if something is extremely high in calories, it's probably really high in fat. And yeah, so basically what I would say for beginners is, Get your protein goal, okay? So say you're 150 pounds, 150 grams, 150 by 4 is 600. So that's 600 calories straight away gone towards protein, okay? And let's say I'm going to just make this an even number. Your calorie deficit is 2,000 calories. So that's 1,400 calories left now to go towards carbs, fats. Now, usually I would still give a breakdown to my client. They'd be like, this is how much protein you should be on, this is how much carbs you should be on, this is how much fat you should be on. But usually for a beginner, I'll just be like, just focus on your protein goal. So how you would do that is wake up in the morning, open my fitness pal and log in your 3 meals for the day and be like, okay, I'm still 20 grams shy of my protein goal. Okay, do you know what? I'll add in a protein bar there, bang. I still have about 200, 300 calories left. Grand, I'll spend that on my snacks. Like, that's how I would usually do it. Like, try not get caught up in, oh God, I haven't reached my carb goal, I haven't reached my fat goal. You're going to be having carbohydrates and fats with your meals anyway. So don't get too caught up in that. My main priority would be reaching your protein goal, because protein's going to make you feel full in between meals. It's going to stop you feeling hungry in between meals as well. And it's going to help build and repair your muscle. So that's what I would say to beginners. If you are a bit more experienced, I would say, you know, maybe hone in a bit more on carbs and fats. But if I thought that, okay, you're going way over your carb goal for someone of your weight, and you're going way under your carb goal for someone of your weight, for your level of activity, because carbs are important. Carbs are a body's primary source of energy, okay? That's why they're important. Your body basically digests carbs, converts it to glucose, and then it gets stored as glycogen, and glycogen is stored in the muscle. So your body is waiting to use them. And what happens is, when you overconsume carbohydrates and you're not moving, okay, say you end up in a calorie surplus at the end of every day, like you haven't hired a coach, you've no interest in exercising, you're in a calorie surplus at the end of every day, and that's how people gain weight, through a calorie surplus. Your body then says, okay, she or he is not exercising, I'm going to store these carbohydrates as glycogen. So then, you know, after a couple of days, it's like, oh wait, she's not exercising. I'm going to store these as fat. So that's what happens. Now, disclaimer, this happens over a number of months or even years. If you're someone who's been immobile for months or years, you probably have put on an awful lot of body fat because of this. Because your body stores carbohydrates as fat if they're not being utilized in exercise. That's why when you're in a calorie deficit, you're not actually consuming that many carbs, as opposed to if you were in, you know, a surplus, because you're having way more calories, you're having way more food. Like, your macros make up your calories. 4 calories in a gram of protein, 4 calories in a gram of carbs, and 9 calories in a gram of fat. So yeah, that's why walking's your superpower, like going to the gym, doing some cardio. But yeah, that's what happens with carbohydrates. And then when you are burning calories in the gym, if you have an awful lot of body fat to lose, your body's going to basically use your glycogen first that's stored from carbs you ate that day or yesterday. It's going to use that first, and then it's going to start hacking into your fat stores. So don't think just because you've done 10 minutes on a treadmill, you're automatically burning body fat. You're not. Your body needs to use up glycogen first. So remember, you've accumulated body fat over a long number of months or even years, so you're not going to lose it overnight or in a week, okay? So just look at it from that perspective. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, I just won't eat any carbohydrates, and that way my body can't store any fat, and I'll lose body fat quicker because there's no fat there to burn. But can you imagine what it would be like to have no carbohydrates in your system? Can you imagine not being able to play with your kids because you have no energy? Not being able to go to the gym because you have no energy? Not having the energy to smile? Like, that would be absolutely miserable. Like, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. That is the keto diet. It's where your body essentially uses dietary fat. So, you know, the fats that you get from nuts or peanut butter or fish, etc., or olive oil. Because that's actually a fuel source as well. It's like nearly a secondary source of fuel for your body, but carbohydrates are your primary source of fuel. When I was doing a photo shoot for the last week, I had to cut out any carbohydrates and I had to just stick to fat, dietary fat. I don't know why they call it fat. And then, you know, they have body fat as well. Like, they're two completely different things. I don't know why they use the same names for them. But there's body fat and dietary fat. Dietary fat is the fat that you consume. Okay, but yeah, I remember I had to just solely eat dietary fat and protein, and I was miserable. I don't know how people think they can sustain that for more than like a week. It's horrible. It really is. And I would not recommend it, because you know what happens when you go back to eating carbohydrates? You put it all back on. So you might as well work on what you have right now, still keep eating carbohydrates, be able to enjoy a sandwich, for God's sake. Like, do not cut out carbohydrates. I'm telling you now, you will notice a massive shift in energy. Like, you will just be so cranky. You'll be miserable. Would not recommend it. Don't demonize carbohydrates. It's just, if you are in a calorie surplus, your body will store them as body fat if you are immobile for long periods of time. As long as you're in a calorie deficit, like, they're not going to get stored as fat. Like, you will essentially drop body fat as long as you're in a calorie deficit. So don't be, you know, alarmed if you eat too many carbs. As long as you're in a calorie deficit at the end of the day, that is the main thing. But, you know, that's what happens for someone who is immobile constantly and just over consumes carbs. They're our body's primary source of energy. Like, they need to be utilized. And if you're not exercising, that's what your body does with them. They get stored as fat. I'm not trying to turn people off carbohydrates. They are my favorite. They are the most satiating macronutrient. Carbs, fats and protein, and carbs are just so tasty. Honestly, we grew up on carbs, cereal, bread, biscuits, and it's usually when you're quite hungry, your body craves carbs because they're easy to digest, and also they are a body's primary source of energy. So your body's just thinking, like, get me something now that's going to give me energy. So yeah, that would be my advice on getting your macros. Try not, like, try avoid, like, total restriction as well. Like, try the 80-20 rule. Like, yeah, we do kind of have to eat somewhat clean, like, and make healthy choices when it comes to being in a calorie deficit, because we want nutritious food that's going to, like, you know, fill us, going to give us the benefits. And obviously, like, we do want to eat foods that we enjoy too, like the fun foods, I call them. But, you know, as long as you're on a calorie deficit, yeah, you're going to drop body fat. But, like, imagine eating 2,000 calories worth of chocolate. You would feel absolutely shit. Yeah, you would drop body fat. But how long could you sustain that? You would feel absolutely shit. You wouldn't be able to build muscle. You'd have no energy. You'd be constantly hungry because, like, there's just no nutrition in chocolate. But it's tasty and we can enjoy it on the daily. So I would always say try build it into your macros or your calorie deficit. So moving on to number 5, download my fitness pal. So I just spoke about that briefly. So you can just YouTube how to apply your own calories and macros, and, you know, from a TD calculator, it's going to give you your calories, because my fitness pal can give you calories. But like I said, it's just absolutely mental when it asks you, how much weight do you want to lose and how long do you have? And, like, it's going to give you like 300 calories a day. So I would recommend using your TD calculator to find out your calorie deficit and then apply your calories and macros into my fitness pal yourself, your own calories and macros. And you can just YouTube how to put in your own calorie and macros in my fitness pal, and it will show you how to do that. A good rule of thumb would be the 40-40-20 rule. So 40% protein, 40% carbs and 20% fat, because my fitness pal is gonna ask you for your macros in percentages. So that's usually a good way of dividing it up. So now you're ready to start tracking. Do you have to track calories to lose body fat? No, but will it help massively? Yes, because you can measure it then, okay? If you're not tracking your food, and say you're my client, and at the end of 3 weeks, it's like, oh, I don't know what's happening. Like, I'm not losing any body fat, but I am eating, right? There's no way for me to tell whether you're lying or not or telling the truth. But if you are tracking your calories, like, I can see all my fitness pal, I can see our check-ins daily. Are you logging your calories in daily? And I can see, okay, well, you've went over your calories like six or seven days for the last 3 weeks. That's why you're not dropping body fat. So if you aren't tracking, it does make it harder to kind of pinpoint what the issue is. Like, you could be having a handful of nuts. Like, nuts are really, really high in calories. They're also a good source of fat. But, you know, if you're not tracking your nuts and you're having like two big handfuls, that could easily be 500 to 600 calories. And you're thinking it's only 100 to 200. Little things like that, or like a spoonful of peanut butter compared to a teaspoon, is also like, could be double or triple the calories. And you're just eyeballing it and stuff. Like, I would always recommend try do 2 to 3 weeks tracking so you can get an idea of portions. Use a food scales, obviously, for portions, etc., like pasta, rice. And I would always say to my clients, starting off, look at the serving size on the back of packets. What's the serving size in pasta? 45 grams per serving, okay? And then it tells you how many calories that is. I'll start off using that. And if you find that's actually feck all, you know, next time I'll try 55 grams. And obviously it's going to be a bit more calories. But you know that filled you then and you enjoyed it more. So yeah. And then I think like a bag of Uncle Ben's microwavable rice is like 250 grams a serving of it. No, 125 grams is one serving. And that's what I always have if I'm having like a little homemade chicken tikka masala. And I know that if I have more than that, it's obviously going to be more calories, but that fills me and that's enough for me. So yeah, download my fitness pal. I would always recommend at least track for 2 weeks so you can get an idea. And if the scale stalls, we can revert back and be like, okay, yeah, you're just eating too many calories. Because otherwise you're just guessing, and you know, it makes it harder for the coach to coach it if they don't know what's going in and out. And pre-tracking, I would always recommend my client to pre-track. So that means just waking up in the morning or even the night before, logging in your 3 meals, knowing what you have to eat to reach your protein goal. So that could be, okay, what do I have for the breast? Okay, 5 eggs, take the 4 yolks out of it, have 1 yolk and 5 egg whites. And people sometimes when I like take on a client and I'm like, what do you have for breakfast? And they're like, I have an egg. That's protein, isn't it? And I'm like, there's fuck all protein in one egg. Like, you need to be having at least 5 to kind of get enough protein from them. So yeah, that's why you're hungry an hour after breakfast. So pre-tracking is, okay, I'm going to have 5 egg whites, 1 yolk, 2 slices of wholemeal toast. And then for lunch, I'm going to have a chicken wrap, 1 wrap, 2 chicken fillets, diced veg, a little bit of spicy sauce, light mayo. Dinner, I'm going to have 150 grams of 5% lean mince with 45 grams of pasta. Okay, after logging those 3 meals, I've hit my protein goal. But if you're shy of a protein goal, add in a yogurt, like a protein yogurt or a Fulfill bar. Grant, that's what I have to eat today to reach my protein goal. So I know when I eat those 3 meals, I've reached my protein goal today rather than winging it. And then you might have 200 to 300 calories left after you logged in the meals. And then you can spend that on your snacks and you know they're accounted for. Rather than waiting till the end of the day, then tracking in your 3 meals, and then you realise, oh my God, I've actually seriously underachieved my protein goal. I've ate way too many carbs today, and that's what happens when you wing it. So yeah, you might have only got like 40 or 50 grams of protein that day, but you got like 300 grams of carbs. And that can be the consequence of waiting till the end of the day. So I would always say, even halfway through the day can be beneficial as well, like to log in what you've eaten so far, and that'll give you an idea then of what you actually have to eat then for the rest of the day to hit your protein goal. Because sometimes you can get to 6 o'clock and log in your 2 meals and be like, I still have 70 grams of protein to eat, and that can make someone feel physically sick. I wouldn't even be able to eat that, like, divided over 2 meals for the rest of the evening. It's a lot. And then I'm just looking at my list here. So number 6, decide on a meal schedule that suits your lifestyle, okay? So meal timings are so important, because if you stick to the same schedule daily, right? So build it around your lifestyle. Obviously, what time you wake up for work at, what time you come home at. A window every couple of hours that is ideal for you to eat and where you have time to sit down and eat. So the importance of meal timings is it stabilizes hunger, okay? Because you have ghrelin and leptin. Ghrelin tells your body when you're hungry, leptin tells your body when you're full. And when you stick to the same meal schedule daily, they stabilize. So if you're eating at random times of the day every day, what happens is ghrelin's all over the place, leptin's all over the place. You're going to feel hungry all day every day at random times of the day because your body doesn't know when it's going to be fed next. So ghrelin is spiked. Leptin tells your body when you're full. So when you're eating, leptin is not sending a signal to your brain being like, okay, you're full now, stop eating. Whereas when you do stick to the same meal schedule, leptin does what it's supposed to do and you actually do feel full and you stop eating. But what happens is when leptin isn't working. Essentially, you keep eating. And that's why, do you ever notice when you're really, really hungry and you eat a meal and then you're washing it down with a chocolate bar and a packet of crisps and whatever else? Because your body doesn't know when it's going to be fed next. So leptin's like, keep eating. I don't know when you're going to feed me next. So that's why meal scheduling is so important. I literally hammer it into my clients' heads, because they do notice a massive difference. It could be one simple thing that's making your life so much harder, and that could be making it so much easier. Like, fat loss phase could be made so much easier if you just stick to a meal schedule. So that's one thing I would recommend. And obviously pack it with protein, because if you didn't, you're still going to feel hungry down in a couple of hours. So, you know, maybe have it every, like, this is my meal timings. So I have my breakfast between 9 and 10, my lunch between 2 and 3, my dinner between 6 and 5, and then sometimes I'll have something small then before I go to bed around 8 or 9, and it's usually something sweet so I don't go to bed craving anything. So, yeah. And it has to stay in place Monday to Sunday. Like, it doesn't just work Monday to Friday and then you just go off the Richter then Saturday to Sunday and binge. Like, that's just how can you build a habit then if you're constantly going off track Saturday to Sunday? Like, it's a Monday to Sunday thing. Even if you're only working Monday to Friday and you build your meal schedule around your work times, still stick to them Saturday to Sunday, because if you don't, it's going to send them out whack, and then you're just going to end up feeling hungry and not full again going into the Monday, Tuesday. Okay, so I usually have my snacks in between my meal times as well, and I would usually have about 30 to 40 grams of protein per meal, and the snacks obviously keep me ticking over as well, because it can be quite hard to not eat 3 to 4 hours, like, anything. So I always have, like, my little chocolate bar or else a packet of crisps or else my protein bar or else a protein yogurt. It really does help, because what happens is if you start leaving massive gaps between meals, like, one day you're really, really busy and you fail to plan for that busy day, what's going to happen is you're going to get to 6 o'clock and it could be only your second meal a day or even your fourth meal, and you are going to be ravenous with the hunger and you're just going to eat rings around yourself, and before you know, you'll be in a surplus. So please try stick to a meal schedule. It will really benefit you, okay? So number 7, weighing daily. So I know this can be a bit controversial, but weighing daily really does give you a really good insight into fluctuations. So your weight will fluctuate daily. Like, daily, hourly, minutely, like, most of the time it's out of your control. Remember I was talking about glycogen earlier. So for every gram of carb that you digest, your body holds on to, like, I think 3 or 4 grams of water. So if you had a really carby meal the night before and you weigh yourself when you wake up and you're thinking, oh my God, that meal just went straight to my hips, it's not. You're literally just holding on to more water. And it will generally disintegrate, or dwindle, I should say, after you go to the toilet a couple of times, or, you know, after you exercise. And it's not because you sweat it out yet, but your body's using that glycogen as well in exercise for fuel. So don't panic, okay? So yeah, weighing daily. For instance, I used to only weigh myself on a Monday. And for about 3 or 4 Mondays in a row, I was the same way. And I was in a deficit and I was being by the book. And I was like, what is going on here? Why is this not changing? And it was very disheartening, but I still stuck it out regardless. But then when I started weighing daily, I was actually missing low weigh-ins. So like I said, imagine I was the same weight for 3 or 4 Mondays in a row. What was happening is when I started weighing daily, I noticed that I was actually hitting low weigh-ins on a Tuesday or a Thursday, but I was missing them because I wasn't weighing daily. And that can be a reason for someone to just throw the towel in, because they think the scale's not cooperating with them, what they're doing is not working, and they're thinking, fuck this, I'm just going to go back to eating the way I was and I'm not going to exercise anymore because this is clearly not working. So what I would say is weighing daily actually gives you a really good insight. So let's say Monday to Sunday. So let's say your lowest weigh-in was on a Wednesday and it was like 90.4 that week, okay? After you're looking back over the 7 days, 90.4 kilograms was your lowest weigh-in. And then the following week, so there's 2 pounds in a kilo, okay? So if you lost 0.5 a kilo, that's a pound. So the following week, you weighed yourself all week and there was no low weigh-in, but on the Sunday there was, and it was 90.0 or else 89.9. That's, you've literally lost a pound, and you would have missed that because you only weighed every Monday. And I know some people can get, you know, deterred from weighing daily because it can mess with their head, but when you actually understand why the scale fluctuates. You could be carrying water from the carby meal the night before. You could have had a meal the night before and it's still sitting in your stomach and you haven't been to the toilet. Always weigh yourself after you go to the loo in the morning and before your breakfast. Sometimes something could be sitting in your bowel, or, you know, it could be your time of the month, or you could have had a really tough workout and your muscles are inflamed, and holding on to water is a healing mechanism. There's stress can cause you to hold on to water. Traveling, actually, I carry a lot of water when I come back from holiday. Alcohol can cause you to hold on to water. So many issues. So make sure you're ticking off every box when you weigh yourself the next morning, and ask yourself, or, you know, meals that are really, really high in salt and sodium. Like a lot of those pre-packed meals that you microwave are really, really high in salt, as because it acts as a preservative. So if you have a really, really salty meal as well, that can cause you to hold on to water. So make sure you're ticking all those boxes. Could it be this? Could it be that? Could it be this? And you can't gain a pound of fat overnight, okay? So the scale tells you what you weigh, not how much body fat you have, all right? It's literally giving you a number of the force being pulled towards the ground. That's it, okay? So try not to get caught up in a number on a scale. But that's why I like weighing daily, because you get to see your low weigh in that week and you compare it to the following one and it gives you an average, etc. So rather than just weighing once a week, it can actually be useful to weigh daily. And yeah, it gives you a lot of insight. And, you know, if after 3 to 4 weeks you are being by the book, you know you're being really, really consistent, you are tracking your calories, then your coach can be like, okay, well, do you know what? Maybe we'll increase cardio a bit. So it could be an extra 5 minutes on the Stairmaster after every weight session, or an extra 10 minutes. And then the following week, if the scale does drop, we'll be like, happy days. But if you aren't being consistent and you're stop starting your diet, you're not being in a calorie deficit, you're not doing your workouts, you're not doing your cardio, and you're moaning that the scale isn't dropping, and you think by cutting calories or asking your coach, can we cut more calories, you know, to make the scale move, you can't be consistent with the calories I have you on. So what makes you think this approach is going to work? So give it time and ask yourself, are you actually sticking to the plan? If you're not, that's why the scale's not budging, okay? Number 8, don't rely on motivation. So 9 out of 10 times, you'll never be motivated, okay? You have to rely on discipline. You have to do the work knowing the results won't be immediate. If that means getting up off the couch on a Friday evening when you're absolutely wrecked from work all week, you have to remember your why. Why did you sign up to this? Do I want this second slice of chocolate cake at the birthday party more than dropping 10 kg in 20 weeks? No, I want to drop 20 kg or 10 kg in 20 weeks. Okay, these are the type of self-talks that you have to have. Because if you're constantly giving in to short-term gratification, you're never going to get results. If you're constantly giving in to temptation, like, there has to be a line drawn somewhere. And motivation, you can't. I get a lot of messages in my DMs. I can never get motivated. And it's like, motivation is cultivated. And you know how it's cultivated? By results. So when you actually put the work in and start getting results, you are actually motivated to keep going. When you know what you're doing is working, that's how motivation is cultivated. Motivation doesn't just hit you like a brick wall when you're lying on the couch on a Friday night. Like, you have to get up, even though you're in the horrors, get out that door and get your 10k steps in, even though you couldn't imagine anything worse. Like, you have to do it. You have to do it, even in spite of it, knowing the results aren't going to be immediate. On day one, when you're in the horrors and you're going out and you're doing your 10k steps, knowing the mountain that you have to climb, but doing it anyway, they are the people who get results. They are the people who persevere and just put the work in, knowing the results won't be immediate. If you do 3 walks a week and the scale doesn't drop and you're not seeing any changes in the mirror and you're thinking, nah, this isn't for me, this isn't working, no, you won't get results, because that's a really piss poor attitude to have. Rome wasn't built in a day. These things take time. You didn't put on weight overnight and you're not going to lose it overnight. But instead of looking at the mountain peak and think, oh my God, look how much I have to climb, just focus on the step in front of you. Just focus on today. Don't focus on 3 months down the line, because if you are like outcome driven, it's not going to end well. You have to be process driven. You have to trust the process. Okay, so stop relying on motivation. Like, I have something written here, and it matters what we do most of the time, not some of the time. So accept that sometimes life gets in the way and from time to time you will go over your calories. Get back on track the following day. Okay, but so when you miss a workout or life gets in the way or there's an emergency or something like that, that's totally different to just deciding to lie on the couch and watch the next episode of Sex and the City. Like, when you intentionally go out of your way to avoid workouts, like, that's when you start going down a bad road. So try our best to be as consistent as possible, okay? Consistency and discipline are your best friends, all right? And it's very easy to give in to temptation when, you know, the scale isn't going your way and you're thinking, oh, will I just go out tonight? Will I just have another meal off plan this week? It's very easy to do that when you think things aren't going your way. Sure, it's not working anyway, I might as well. It's very easy to give in to temptation. So, you know, that's when you have to persevere and that's where you have to be consistent and that's when you have to put the work in, knowing the results aren't immediate. So I think I've hammered that home a bit. But yeah, trust the process. And 9, have an exit strategy. So this is something that a lot of people don't consider when they enter a fat loss phase. They're just focusing on losing the weight and they're not focusing on what to do after they lose the weight. And usually what I used to be guilty of in the past is, great, I've lost a stone now. Happy days, I'm going to go on my holiday. And when I come back, I'm going to go back to eating how I was before I started this diet. Just eating random shit for breakfast, staying up till 2 in the morning making toasties. And all these good habits I've built up over the last 8 to 12 weeks are just gone out the window. Like, why am I binning them? Why not still continue to live like that when you come home? Maintain your weight. You haven't ruined your progress because you went on holiday. It's 1 week out of 52 weeks of the year. Like, look at it like that. If you ate well for 1 week out of 52 weeks of the year, would you expect results? No. So why are you panicking over eating off plan for 1 week out of 52? So have an exit strategy, okay? So when you come home, what are you going to do? Why not keep going to the gym? Maintain the body you've worked for. Still walk daily. Maybe you don't have to do as much cardio now because you're not in a fat loss phase, but maintain. Find out what your maintenance calories are. Stay in good shape. Why would you bin it all? Why would you work that hard only to throw it all away? Honestly, it's very important to have a goal after a goal, because I remember when I dropped 20 pounds in, you know, one of my first serious fat loss phases, and my coach said to me, okay, you know, the end of this is nigh. What's your next goal? And I was like, I don't know, like, I think I've lost enough weight. And he was like, okay, that's fine. Do you want to build on anything? Do you want to build your glutes? Do you want to build muscle? And I was like, yeah, I'd actually like to build my quads. I'd like to build my shoulders and my back. Okay, let's bring you back up to maintenance calories, because you are eating more food now. Your body has more fuel and it's going to build more muscle. You're going to appear more toned now because you have less body fat. And, like, you know, that was like music to my ears. I was like, oh, like, I'm going to look really defined now. And that was something to work for. And then after like 4 months of that maintenance phase, of being at a maintenance phase, he said, okay, what's your next goal? And I said, okay, now I want to drop a little bit of body fat again so I can appear even more toned. Okay, let's do that. And then I ended up doing a photo shoot. So yeah, always have a goal after your goal, because it will keep you focused. It will keep you maintaining your weight. And it will stop you flying off track and going back to old habits. Like habits are so important, honestly. And don't underestimate these tiny little decisions you make over time. Like, say you love a cappuccino, but you're always getting full fat milk and sugar, or that caramel syrup. If you get a small cappuccino with low fat milk and sugar free caramel, say you get one of those every day as opposed to a normal cappuccino that you used to get every day for a year, like, you could be saving thousands of calories. And you think it's not making a difference for the first 1 or 2 months, but over a year, you could be saving thousands of calories. So yeah, little things like that, keeping up those habits, make a difference in the long run. You've only given yourself 8 to 12 weeks using these habits. Imagine how you're going to look in a year's time. So definitely a body in motion stays in motion. So I would definitely not go back to old habits, because that used to be my downfall. And that's how you end up putting the weight back on as well. So it's just like yo-yo dieting, it really is. Back from holiday, back to always. And then when you go on holiday again, you have to work even harder to lose the weight again. But if you actually maintain your weight, keep going to the gym, keep getting your steps in, you know, keep making mindful choices with food, keeping your protein up. When you go on holiday again, you barely have to work for it then. You're already in great shape and you actually make your life so much easier. But unfortunately, some people just love comfort and they just love going back to what's easy. And number 10, treat it as a lifestyle. So the perks of treating it as a lifestyle is, imagine you only have 10 weeks left till your holiday, or we'll say 4 weeks, and you had planned to lose 10 pounds. Now there's 4 weeks left. You haven't really been sticking to it. You keep overindulging on the weekend. What's going to happen? You're going to beat yourself up. Look at you. You can't stick to it. you're failing as usual, what happens? You end up binging, or you end up overindulging on the weekend then because if you feel guilty or you just think it's not working, so why bother? But if you treat it like a lifestyle, you're like, it's okay, I have the rest of my life to lose this way. I'm going to come back from holiday and I'm going to continue with this journey. Like, it's a lifestyle and it's going to take a while to get the hang of. Yes, you're not going to pick it up overnight. Like, imagine you were in a long-term relationship with someone for like 10 years. When you break up with them, you don't know what life is like without them for a while because they were your life. You imagined, like, yeah, you imagined your future with them, etc. So now you're getting used to like a different way of life, and that's hard to adjust to, and that's not going to happen overnight. You're getting used to doing things without them, like, and this is exactly it. You're leaving your old lifestyle behind you, the person who didn't walk, didn't go to the gym, didn't eat well. Now you're trying to pick up the habits of someone who does eat well, does walk daily, does have protein with every meal. That's the way you have to live now. You're not looking at it as like a 10-week window or an 8-week window. This is just how you live now, because when you think like that, when you do overindulge, you're like, I have the rest of my life to make up for this. I have the rest of my life. This is just who I am now. But if you keep thinking this is who I am for 10 weeks and 10 weeks only, you're setting yourself up for failure. And that's where the yo-yo dieting comes in, because you come back from your holiday, like I said earlier, and you're just back to old habits. Like, that's how you keep your weight keeps fluctuating. But when you just keep up the walking, it's part of your identity. You have protein with every meal. You're not in a calorie deficit all year round, all right? Because that's just insane. But there are certain periods of the year where you are in a fat loss phase, where you are in a maintenance phase, or even a gaining phase. Treat it as a lifestyle. Putting the work in, knowing the results won't be immediate. They are the people who succeed. Getting up on day one, doing the walk, getting up on day two, doing the walks, doing the workouts, knowing it's only week one, they have a massive mountain to climb, but they're still putting the work in anyway, motivation or not. Someone who expects immediate results is set up for severe disappointment. Seriously, you are not going to see results after a week or two. Like, this is going to take a matter of months. Like I said, you didn't put it on overnight, and you're not going to lose it overnight. So you have to do the work knowing the results aren't immediate, knowing this shit takes time, because if you are outcome driven, you're going to be seriously disappointed because you're only focusing on the finish line. You're not focusing on the day to day and all the in-betweens. You have to be process driven and you have to trust the process. I remember my scale didn't budge for a month at one stage, and I was still staying in my calorie deficit. I was still having one biscuit instead of two because I was like, no, do you know what? This is going to budge one day soon, and I'm going to keep going until it does, because if I was to stop right there and then, a week later, it could have dropped. And now I'm taking two steps back instead of three steps forward. Like, it's just, you have to do the work knowing the results won't be immediate. And like I said, in the beginning, it is going to be tough. You're going to be presented with a lot of situations where temptation is going to be waving in your face, like a second slice of chocolate birthday cake or a third slice of pizza. You know, and you have to think to yourself, yeah, this is a little bit uncomfortable at the moment because I'm used to like just going for three or four slices. And now I kind of have to hold back and be like, no, I'll just enjoy one because it's going to benefit my journey and benefit my goal. What's a few moments of discomfort to know down the line you are going to have so much comfort, you're going to have so much confidence, you're going to have dropped that 10 kg. So like, you know, you have to kind of think like that, being like, do I want this third slice of or second slice of chocolate birthday cake, or do I actually want to drop 10 kg once and for all? Like, you know, when you put it like that, I think the choice is very obvious. So that sums up my 10 ways to optimize fat loss. You will notice throughout these podcasts, I mess up my words a lot. So yeah, thanks for listening. I hope this has massively helped. If you are starting your fat loss journey, these are really, really good points, and they will set you up for a safe, sustainable fat loss journey. And I hope you tune into the next episode. Thanks.